I sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands from the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Oh yeah, stretch those bones out because it is time once again
for bone crunching.
Yes, for bone crunching. Joe is doing his best grunge impersonations over here on Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show. We're here with you today.
Yeah, I know, but it also, I'm trying to do the downward facing dog here, and you got to play this.
I know.
No, now.
it's always good to
get up.
Good to be seen. You can get it in hold of us. This is
where's that hoist? I need the hoist.
Yeah, this is our first show of the new year, and Joe, I got to say, we are celebrating a monumentous occasion.
Monumentous.
Actually, 3 days ago was the calendar date that Motormouth Radio turned 18 years old.
My God.
We are now celebrating the 18th year of this fine show that has been passed down to us, the gatekeepers.
So it can get its driver's license.
Yeah, we're the current gatekeepers. We need one more of us.
We're the inmates of the asylum.
Well, I was thinking about the three knights that are in the over the Golden Seal. If you ever watch any, you know, Harrison Ford, if you like the...
Right, yes. That's
the I was watching... all of the Raiders movies the other week, the day. I was like, yeah, that's kind of what it is. We're like the old knights, keepers of the seal. That's our job now. But yes, the show is 18 years old. And then you came in 3 years ago as a permanent fixture.
I just never left.
Boy, is that time flew. Well, it was that was the intent that you wouldn't leave. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I mean, I started off as a guest, and then I just started I don't know, I just kept wandering over here.
Yeah, that's fine by us.
You're like, yeah, okay, let's let him in.
Yeah. So, you can, if you want to learn more about the show, you can get in touch with us. Well, you can call us at 516-572-7440. Or you can check us out on the web, motormouthradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, Motormouth Radio, and Joe's favorite on Instagram.
Real_ Motormouth Radio.
It's not that bad.
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, I actually put something up on Instagram yesterday.
You did.
Not as hard as it was. I find Facebook a little easier, but I got the pictures on there, and that was
and it went well. I saw the post and said, yes, another one.
See? I just adhered to Joey's rule number one, which is anything going to explode? No. Try it. What the hell?
And people should know. You want to go on there, you can follow us. Even on the website, you can sign up for our weekly... we have a weekly blog that comes out. It'll give you little excerpts of what we did during the week.
Our exploits.
Right. And you can follow, if you like the music on the show, you can follow... Spotify. We have it on Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify.
You can follow that. Subscribe to that. You can hear our playlists from the show. You can also... Oh, all sorts of stuff. We put videos up. There's a couple that are up this week. There's some new Mark Warman and Graveyard Car stuff that just went up.
Yeah.
Our social media guy, web guy, is very
talented. He's just cranking them out. God bless him.
Yeah. And at some part during the show today, if I just stop talking and Joe does, it's because my cough is lingering and I don't want to...
I'll try to hold up my end of the bargain.
Yeah. Well, of course you will.
We'll see how that turns out.
We did have a guest today. We had Marty from Eclipse Sunshades on, but due to a medical problem, he had to bow out for today, and we have him scheduled again for next week.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So that'll That's going to...
So, you know, the calendar moves around. People drop out of the cloud. They drop back up into the cloud. You know, they're on bungee cords.
I look at it as one of those moving 3D chess games. Where
right.
The pieces move.
Yes.
That's kind of what this show is.
Thank God, Ray, that you can keep track of that. It's just the... Because I'd be like, and who is it we got this week? Oh, no, that guy. Yeah, good.
Without a book and a pen and a piece of paper, I'm done. So.
Yeah. I try to do it mentally, and that's just your basic oxymoron. So what kind of week did you have?
Well, it was quite the active week. A bunch of stuff went on. You know, why don't you kick it off? Because I have a story for you, but you may have...
I got a story.
Tell your story.
Told by an idiot, filled with sound and fury.
No, geez.
Signifying... that I'm an idiot.
No.
Well, okay, basically, this is the story of the Corvette.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, we mentioned a couple months ago that we had found the Corvette, the UD crew, found the Corvette, a 74.
74.
Laying out in somebody's backyard, which when we got the car, pulled it back to the UD, which was kind of hard because the back wheels were locked.
So you literally pulled it.
Well, yeah, we dragged it. Drag is the operative word here, and this did not involve any kind of fishnet stockings or or high heels or nothing like that. And so we dragged it back to the UD, and when going through the paperwork and whatnot, we found that the last paperwork in the car was from 1988.
Right.
So it sat for a while until it was time. Things just roll around because there's all kinds of stuff going on. You know, either. Repairs that have to be done to our own vehicles, or somebody we know, or somebody we know's vehicle that we got to get them back out on the road. So,
right.
But it was finally time to get the vet onto the lift into the work area. As a matter of fact, I think I started mentioning it last week that
we did.
That we were going to try to find out. We were trying to find words that rhymed with other trucker.
Yeah, yeah.
For the process.
We were talking about pick points and pull. It was like...
Right, yeah.
It was like...
It was a geometry lesson.
If you remember on one of my favorite shows, Mythbusters, they wanted to drive a car into a truck, but they didn't want to... And they wanted to pull it, but they didn't want to be near it. So they hooked up a pulley system with a cable so that
right.
The truck they hooked up to the car could go away from it.
Yeah,
to pull the car to it.
I was talking about that at some point, and there's just too much geometry over there, you know, and basically like, who the hell is Archimedes? So,
and what's that principle anyway?
So, look, when I got there, it was already in position.
What, you missed all the fun.
And basically, I have learned not to ask.
Okay.
Yeah. So. What we found, what Johnny found out was that the emergency brake, the little shoes on the inside of the Corvette Rota, that's what they use for number. You know, they look like little tiny, they should have them bronze. It's like baby shoes,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
They're cute.
So, got that off, got the rotors off. You know, we started assessing the fun that was to come,
because
this thing had it was like Wild Kingdom in there with all the different. Like nests of you know, small little animals that had made their little homes over there, but I know it's Pythagorean, but you know what? I flunked math, Jim. Okay, so okay,
we're not taking off for fine points.
Yeah, I suck at math. It's either that, or I would have been an engineer by now. at this point, though, so we got the thing up in the air and we started looking around. And we assessed like the whole brake system's got to get done, totally. So we says, okay, let's see if we can get the motor to turn, because you know if the motor don't turn, well, it's time for it to become a parts car.
Now there's someone on the hook for that car already who wants it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the hook has definitely firmly hit. Yes, and. It's an L82. I mean, this thing, when we opened it, this thing is original. It's got all the
sweet.
It's got all the radio, the RFI shields.
Yeah.
Everything said friggin' Delco on it. I was like, I'm afraid to touch this thing. It's like too nice. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, something in the back of Yang's closet that he forgot. You know, like, I mean, right. That's how original this thing was. So the next step during the course of the week was to get the motor to turn. And basically, that involved getting the plugs out, which is always fun in a Corvette because have no room. You got to get their shields out, and so we got that all off, and we poured the the Mommy Ferretti's mixture of cylinder loosening fluid.
Nice.
Into the plugs.
Was that right next to the Mother Switch's top soap?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean, Mama. So we used that, and actually it took a couple days.
Okay.
Because I got to tell you, Johnny tried some big bars on that thing to move it, and it just wasn't happening.
Well, he goes to all the big bars, I know.
Yeah, and they become little bars after that. What happened? And finally, it started turning. Well, he changed his plan of attack a little bit, and we went, instead of grabbing the pulleys, what we did was we went right to the center crank of the balancer.
Yeah.
And started rocking it back and forth, you know. And basically, it requires a lot of patience, because what you got to do is you got to rock it, walk away, rock it, walk away. Finally, the thing starts moving pretty nicely on, like, say, Friday. It was like Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided Saturday was going to be the day.
Right.
So what we did was, at that point, we got the pulleys and everything off the front of the motor. So that way we wanted to eliminate anything like a seized compressor or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided, okay, let's power it up. So we dropped the battery in, nice brand new battery. Nothing.
Hmm.
Not a click, not a blink at it. Any of the dash lights, nothing.
See, that's okay, though, because now you know you have a major fault.
Right.
Somewhere.
Something is in your face. It just kind of glued itself on there, and now it's time to find it. So, now it's time for me to come out. So, and you know, I have to say, you know, considering he's owned multiple Corvettes, Dougie goes, yeah, it's a ground. I'm like,
wow.
No argument.
Okay.
No argument. So we're looking around, we're eyeballing everything, and it's like nothing. Nothing jumps up and bites you.
Well, at that point, you want to look at the major grounds.
Yes, absolutely. Because I'm like, okay, yeah. Because we started looking at the different ground cables and whatnot. You know, in their positions, like between the chassis and the block, and so on and so forth. I says, no, we're going to start at the beginning, like Master Yang taught me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, start at the battery and work your way back. Well, forward in this case, because it's Corvette.
It's behind the seat.
So we got the big 10-gauge jumper wire that went into that with the nice big alligator clips. And I just went from battery negative, and I just went right to the motor and clamped it onto the alternator bracket, which many times is the ground point of a vehicle once the charging system operates.
On the Chevys, yeah.
Yeah. And
especially in that range of years in the mid-70s, they clamped it right to the top of the alternator.
I said, well, we got to take it easy because this is only about a 10-gauge jumper wire, so we can't pass everything through it. But headlights came on. You know, the dash lights lit up. The key buzzer went, you know, that annoying noise that they make back then. I was like, okay, it's a ground.
Mm-hmm.
So we started tracing. And, you know, in Corvette, you know, you got the battery cable. It goes right through the floorboard, and it goes right to the chassis behind the, right in front of the driver's side rear wheel.
Yeah.
Which is also the one that locked up the hardest, and it had the most amount of crud, squinge, crust, a lot of crust.
Okay.
And I said, okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to take the jumper cable, and we're just going to go from one section to the other until we find the dead spot, which is how you do it. Divide and conquer, we call that, you know, when we do, you know, isolating electrical problems. So this is Johnny. Grab a wire brush and, like, make me a clean spot for the end of that cable so that way we can go there and go forward. So Johnny grabs the wire brush, it starts brushing, and all of a sudden lights start flickering. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
You know what we're going to do?
What?
I want to save it's time for a break. I want to save the payoff, because it's kind of super unknown right now.
Yes.
And
okay.
Playing with us on our musical choice, and you'll see why I chose to do that.
I am duly psyched for this.
Let us take our break, and we'll come back and find out what the super unknown problem was on that Corvette on 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by Disney on Ice presents Frozen. Coming to NYCB Live, home of the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, January 10th to the 13th. Discover the full story of Disney's Frozen. Join Anna as Olaf, Kristoff, and Sven help her find Elsa and bring back summer. Hosted by Mickey and Minnie, with music and special appearances by Disney stars. More information can be found online at DisneyOnIce.com.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
All hit music.
For all those songs radio has forgotten about, join me, Big Ed, Mondays from 10 a.m. till noon for the Good Gold Show. We'll bring back all the great hits of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and more. The sounds of doo-wop to disco, all the Motown, soul, and great rock and roll. We'll even take your requests and dedications to the Good Gold Show.
Music.
On the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, and streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
If this doesn't make you afraid.
Yeah, if that doesn't make you afraid, nothing will. We're back with more Motor Mouth Radio.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Long Island's only automotive talk show.
I come on with teddy bears.
And if you like Good Gold, you'll also like Lyrics to Go on this station, Fridays at 11 p.m. You can explore the creativity of hip-hop music with hosts, our friend, DJ Solero.
Oh, yeah.
So now,
Have you found out where he's been?
Yeah, I think he was getting something to eat. We may do it later. So now we are back, Motor Mouth Radio, 516-572-7440. You can give us a call. But now we'll get to the crux of that super unknown problem of the Corvette.
So Johnny's grabbing the wire brush, and you know, I was insistent that he clean it off. And no, Johnny, I am not going to use that as a dental hygiene device.
Not for his teeth, right?
And as he's brushing the cable, the lights are flickering, all kinds of stuff, and I'm like, wow, look at this. So we ended up taking it off. No, there's a bolt, which, now, mind you, the cable don't look half bad considering it's all encrustulated over there. So we took it off, and we started looking at the cable, and as he flexed the cable to move it off the chassis, like powder came out.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that powder, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it just came out in droves, and then once you wiped off the cable, you could see it was a little pregnant.
Yep.
And sure enough, what had happened was it was down to like three strands. I mean, that's a big fat. That's like a one gauge cable from
like
the factory.
Another grunge song, dead and bloated, right?
That,
it's the grunge day.
Summed it up real good.
There we go.
And geez, this thing would carry maybe, since it only had like about three or four strands, if that many, that were actually viable, it couldn't carry any of the power anyplace.
Right.
So we did a temporary repair. And
what was the temporary repair?
Well, basically, we pulled the cable out, and because they give you extra cable, you know what I mean? There's a sufficient amount there. And
back when copper was cheap.
Yes, exactly. And essentially, we were looking around for another side terminal cable, and I pulled one out of the Trailblazer that we worked on not that long ago. And if this thing is maybe four gauge.
Wow, I know.
We're like, okay, 2004, 1974. What's wrong with this picture?
Right.
And what we ended up doing is we ended up cleaning up the end of the cable there. And we took the end of the cable there and put an end on it. Because it also had a big, fat 3/8 thread. So this thing is no joke.
Yeah.
So we got back together, and now everything came on. It was like... Then we started going through some stuff, and you know, we found out we had no spark. And... we took the distributed cable.
You guys or the car?
Well, we had low spark.
Okay.
So but we took off our high heels.
We wear high heels,
so,
right.
basically, at that
low
point...
Low-heeled spark of high-heeled boys, in case you didn't get the traffic reference. Some people don't get it, Joe, you know.
Yeah, I know. We're just a bunch of old music nerds, too. But what happened was, at that point, we just cranked the motor over. We put the spark plugs back in, which is fun, which is I lost about maybe a half a pint of blood on my end because my little hands only get in certain places.
Right.
And Johnny and Dougie's hands get in other places. And between the three of us, we just managed to get them in there. And but before before we put the plugs in, we cranked the motor over. Right. Spun really nice. Mm-hmm. It was like, wow, could this be our lucky day? We actually spun the motor a little bit, got the oil pressure to come up on the gauge.
Nice.
And we're like, came up to like 25, so about 20, 25 pounds, if I'm not mistaken. But so now we know there's something going on in there.
Right.
And we put it back in, put the plugs in, and we were trying to find spark. You know, we didn't have spark.
Yeah.
And we did little checks, pulled the cap off, and the points were also encrustulated.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, okay.
Who's got an emery board?
Yeah, well, basically, yeah, because I was like, I got a points file. I got a card of
them. Real points file.
Actual Blue Streak points files, but unfortunately, they were sitting in the back seat of my Cavalier, which, of course, I didn't take because I had the toolbox with me.
Right.
So, we got a file in there.
We
got a file in there. All right, nice and clean.
Piece of emery paper.
And so we started cranking it over, and now we see... Zap, zap, zap.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I was like, condenser.
Yeah.
So, next thing I know...
Wait, what was zap, zap, zapping? Let's back up
the points.
Okay, you saw the points spark.
Yeah, because we had the cap off, and the points are arcing. Now, a condenser,
right.
for those of us who don't are not versed in points-type ignition, you're only dealing with electronics. The condenser, actually, when the points separate, there's an arc.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because they go to the ground side of the coil. That arc, of course, wastes the time of the ignition system because it doesn't break, it doesn't break cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's no spark out of the coil. So, of course, we had a new old stock Delco condenser in amongst the stuff.
Of course, condenser is another word for capacitor.
Yes,
really all
it was a capacitor. Yes,
it's a paper wound electrolytic capacitor.
Right. And what happens is they break down. Believe it or not, condensers can break down from just sitting.
In old audio gear too. That's the thing. I'm looking at a Marantz receiver right now, and one of the things I looked on some of the message boards, and they said no, you got to change those output caps. I did this. I went through this with a friend with a jukebox and a guitar amplifier. The same thing. If it's vintage 70s or 60s, just you got to change them.
Yeah, they break down because chemically, I know from...
a shellac in there that...
Yeah, there's like a paste.
Yeah.
There's a shellac.
The paste probably turns to shellac.
Yeah, there's like foil in there. And,
right.
And basically, they go bad. They go stale. You know the minute, temperature changes, minute amounts of moisture and so forth.
Sure.
So they have a lifespan because I was like, why am I changing this thing? What could go wrong with it?
Years ago when I was an electronics student in college, we used to take the electrolytics and you plug them into a 110 outlet.
Right.
Bang!
Oh, yeah. They make very good party favors.
The paper, because you'd see the paper and the foil all over the place. And then you'd be like, hey, what do you guys do? Nothing.
I don't know. It was an unforeseen event,
I don't know.
So
random error.
We dropped the condenser in there. We filed the points off nice. Put the cap back on. It's got spark. So then we put the plugs in.
Right.
And then we got the wires back on. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
All right. Now it's like we got to get gas. So I was like, we're not using the gas in the tank. Actually, we all were of a similar mind with that because this stuff there probably came from the Sunoco 260 era or something, but anyway, we ended up doing was we got some fuel, put it in a gallon can, a 5 gallon can, and we ran it from the from out under the car to the inlet line of the fuel pump.
Right.
Not.
Okay, that's the next link in the chain.
Well, I got to go back a little bit. And what we did was we sprayed a little mixture of carburetor cleaner and gasoline down the bowl vent to fill up the carburetor bowl so it lights up faster. You know what I mean?
Yep.
At that point, we weren't too concerned with the actual gas can intake at that point. But The thing let off in like three cranks.
Beautiful.
Woo, woo.
Sweet. Gotta love a Chevy.
Oh, this thing just, no lifter noise, no nothing, wow. No tap. This thing sounds great.
And
that's
amazing.
This is an LED too, also. 4-bolt main, right. The hotter hydraulic cam, the bigger valves.
Yeah.
You know, forged, a lot of forged stuff in there. Good motor.
I mean, I always think of just when an engine sits, you think of which. You know, which pistons are up, which are down, which corresponds to which valves are open, which valves are closed, lifters are preloaded, not preloaded. You know, and for such a long time, springs are stressed, springs are unstressed.
Yeah, yeah, because that's at one point that was like, let's pour some stuff down the intake to get to the... But
yeah.
that was just not necessary. As usual, I was
overridden.
Accused of my usual OCB tendencies tend to come in there.
Was it the one word answer?
Bah! Yeah.
Okay.
Or like
whatever that word is, actually. I don't know.
Joseph, go to your room. Don't get crazy here.
Well.
But, no, you know, as a team, we got this thing going.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of jocularity in between. But the thing lit up, and there was high fives and hugs all over the place. It's like 30 friggin' years this thing sat.
That's great.
Then we found out that the fuel pump wasn't sucking.
Sure. To be expected.
Yeah. And so that's the next step there. We got to start putting, you know, we're going to put a fuel pump on, clean out the lines, and see if we can get it to run on its own.
Yeah.
You know, but this was like, this is basically like, when did we get that car? We got that car in like October. Yeah, something like that. It's been sitting for a while, and then we were trying to figure out
how did it get up there with the frozen wheel? Was on a truck?
I wasn't there for that either. As a matter of fact, I was doing the show that day. I think when it came in, so I wasn't really sure how the Eagle landed. To be honest with you, and guys, if you're listening, by all means, chime in and give us a call and help clear up some of the mystery here. You know,
that's great.
And I mean, it took a long time. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Also, we couldn't get in the car. Friday night, we couldn't get in the car because the doors didn't move.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Now. When they first
sounds like
got,
a certain Mustang I have my hands on down at the shop. That
yeah,
doesn't want to always open.
When the car first came in, Doug had the presence of mind to lower the driver's side window, which was interesting because, you know, the window went down. You know, the electrical system worked one time.
Luckily, it did that once. Yeah,
and then so
it's nice to have a crank.
Yeah, exactly. So and of course, like the driver's side door handle is busted.
Oh, jeez.
So. We have the dilemma because we thought the car was maybe flexing because it was on the lift with no tires on it, blah, blah, blah.
That's a frame car. It's a chassis.
But of course, I was thinking, well, what if the frame's rotted? You know, they're like, oh, Joseph, go to your room.
There you go.
You know, because I do get carried away a little bit, you know.
Well, but you think of all the possibilities.
Yeah, because I'm usually the one who ends up getting the possibility that's not supposed to be.
Right.
You know, eliminate the impossible. Well, this one's really at the end of the possible list. Well, anyway, had to get inside the car to get the car open, because otherwise we were going to just shake it off the lift, because I went in there, you know, on Corvettes, right around the lock striker, there's a little cutout in the trim panel, so we just started spraying all kinds of lubrication.
I got the Mustang open.
Yeah, but no, it was not to be.
Yeah, okay.
So, of course, they had to send me in through the T-top.
Oh, Jesus.
Because I'm the only one who fit.
Right.
So they kind of sent me in through the window / T-top, and I'm in there like I'm working the linkages and stuff. And it took about an hour to get that to get that stuff moving. And finally, there was this one little tab on the... Well, we got the passenger door open just by like lubricating it and working it and yelling at it and you know, other trucker and all that kind of stuff. And then the driver's side, we had to actually sneak a little thin metal tool down the. I was like, we don't have a Slim Jim.
Yeah.
So basically, I found the tab on the lock mechanism that came from the door lock rod, which was obviously somehow jammed out of adjustment, whatever. Just kind of. Tickled it, door pop. Well, it didn't pop, but it loosened enough that then I could, from the from the inside push and then from the outside pull. And
right.
Now we got doors now.
Beautiful.
Now they have to be disassembled because there's all kind. It's like wow. Mickey Mouse's cousins and
now you can get
aunts and uncles and everything is in there. So
fire up the shop vac.
Hazmat suit.
Yeah.
And all kinds of other stuff because that's probably going to be one of my things to do in the next couple of days is get that working.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do in the next couple seconds. We're going to take our
It's time for another break?
We're going to take a break.
Okay.
And this time, we're going to visit some of our Mocklin friends.
Mocklins?
The ones that are brown and red. Because Mocklins are brown and red. They do have that red on their shoulders.
Yes, they are.
So we'll do that on Motormouth Radio, and then we'll be back. You can give us a call.
And what about the reading utensils?
Let's not talk about their proclivities for extrasensory perception. What's the chamber called?
Holodeck.
The holodeck is the other Star Trek.
Simulation.
What do they call it in the simulation chamber.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that right now.
Oh no,
because I did catch the last episode last night.
Yes.
So, but we'll talk about more of that. You give us a call 516-572-7440. Ray G and Joe D. Motormouth Radio.
GD.
That's right. 92.3 WHPC.
Are you telling the microphone to smile so you could take a picture of it?
Yeah. So, which side do you think is its good side?
It's just a microphone.
I know, it's a microphone. Perfect! I think I'll put the Lark filter on it.
Why did you take a picture of the microphone, and who cares what filter you're going to use?
You'd care if you followed 903 WHPC on Instagram.
Oh, Instagram. Wait, I want to go viral. Take a picture of me. Get my good side and use that Lark filter.
Follow 903 WHPC on Instagram and join the conversation from the voice of Nassau Community College.
I said, get my good side. Delete that.
Ugh.
That's 903WHPC on Instagram from 90.3WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motormouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles, and these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
90 of those spoons, Joe.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to fill in the backbeat here with this snare and a... How's that?
Sounds good.
Pretty cool, huh?
That is great stuff, man.
Somewhere in the universe, members of your family are dancing.
Yes, they... It's a favorite among my household.
You know, Exceeding Limits Truck Club had Stickman, and you have Spoonman.
Yes.
Excellent.
Gotta love it.
Another one of our favorites here on Motormouth Radio. And Rob thinks I might have said 92.3 before. And he's right. In my funkadelic haze, it's 90.3 WHPC. But I may have misspoke.
Does this mean I gotta climb up at the tower and change the channel?
Yeah,
or something?
We gotta go bend the antenna. But, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
So,
but,
anywho's.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, as long as you know, it's 90.3 or www.motormouthradio.com. Any of the various streaming services that are out there.
Spreaker, all sorts of cool stuff. Like I said, you go on our website, you can follow us on our Spotify if you want to follow the specific songs we play, because we do try to pick out some decent stuff. I want to tell you a funny story that happened during the week. Going back 2 weeks, you'd help me with some tech information for a 2013 Mercedes SUV.
Not another German car.
Right. I got tapped on the shoulder to change the front right suspension. Everything is front right suspension these days.
Yeah. Well, that's where they put the curb.
Had to take out the strut, the knuckle, and all the various components and change that stuff, which I did last week. That was actually last Sunday after the show. I went and finished that job, so we're a week out. But what happened is Mike took the car then, of course, to go get it aligned.
Right.
Because I had it within like a 16th on my tie rod ends, which is close enough to drive. So he took it in and he drove it. And it was as soon as he took it out, the SUV had a heavy right side pull.
Mm.
So I figured, okay, we'll get it aligned and we'll fix all of that. After the alignment, it still did it.
Oh, no.
So we had the alignment guy with them, and they drove, like, to Lynbrook. They drove around. They were driving, like, five, 8, 10 miles or so, and scratching their heads, like, what the hell? This thing lined up perfect. Computer alignment, everything shows it was right, yet there was this heavy, like I said, if you let go of the wheel, the car would curb itself within.
Yeah, the car thought you were going in the wrong direction.
It looked for Starbucks, yeah. The tanning salon was over there. So, but anyway.
No, it was a beer garden.
Yeah, they were driving. Yeah, I saw a Heineken sign. They were driving, or Lone Bear, or Bex. They were driving down a road, and then just, he said they hit a small little bump, and next thing you know, it was fixed. The car went dead nuts, straight, no more pulling. It just fixed itself. And I said, is that adaptive learning? I mean, what the heck is going... Obviously, something... Now, he did check it. He scanned the truck, and he checked the steering angle sensor.
Right.
Everything was within spec. There were no codes, no faults.
Okay.
But he had to drive it like 8 or so miles, and all of a sudden, it just straightened itself out. That, a good point for test driving a car before you give it to the customer.
Oh,
first
yeah,
of all.
Because you know, right turns are
so
they can be very inconvenient, especially if you know you're driving down the street and there's a lot of parked cars and whatnot. You know,
yeah, oh, absolutely. But you know, other than that, you know, a customer brings their car in for repair, gets the repair done,
mm-hmm.
and then you can't give it back to them with a pull like that.
No,
you know, they're gonna say, hey, fix it.
Yeah, definitely not. That's another thing that you have to do to. Yeah, you have to do is, I think that any car before it gets given back should be the, you know, at least the repairs verified.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm a big fan of taking cars for a test drive. You know, in a couple of shops I go to, I have my favorite little loop that might consist of a little bit of stop and go, a little short thing, a highway.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just before you give the car back, because even though, okay, maybe it came in for a check engine light for a misfire or something like that, you know, something straight up, but you still want to go through the car, because the other thing that happens sometimes is that Everett comes to visit you when they pick up the car.
Everett?
Everett sends you.
Everett sends you.
Oh,
yes,
my God,
know.
Did it. Everett, since you had the car, it has a home. Dude, we did spark plugs.
I tell you what. Now, you know, people may be at a loss. Go to motormouthradio.com and go to the blog tab. Look for the there's a link right on the homepage for the MMR decoder. You'll see the magic 8-ball, and you can look up what Sinju actually means. I'm not going to tell you. You go look it up, and then you come and you let me know you found it. So
exactly.
Yeah, but you're right. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of that. Like, just about every job that I engage in. You know, I try to take the car for, if it's possible.
Oh, yeah.
So I take the car for a quick little ride, because I come back and say, hey, you know, not for nothing, but like the ABS light is on, even though the car was in for a check engine light, let's say.
So let me ask you, on a diagnostic front, Mike didn't see anything that flagged this, yet it occurred. What's a guy supposed to do? I mean, if you don't speak fluent Mercedes, like, you know, we really don't. Like, yeah. I mean, is that common? Is it not common? I mean, what's a guy to do in a shop?
Well, you're asking the wrong guy about German cars, but it sounds like they could have been a relearn, or something could have just not sat down right, and then it decided to sit down.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, with the repair, that's one thing. There was a mechanical
or maybe
repair,
or maybe brakes.
Let's see, brakes. I'll tell you what I did, because I worked on the car. I took the brakes off, took the rotor off, took the pads out. They have a sensor.
Right.
There is a brake pad sensor.
That's for wear. Yeah.
And installed, and it is a wheel speed sensor. Those are the only two sensors, so everything went back. You know, I reused the same rotor and pads.
Did the wheel actually, like, grab at you? Or did the car just kind of, like, drift over?
Mike said if he let go of the wheel... Now, of course, roads have crowns.
Right, of course.
You know, and if he was in the right lane, you're at the you know, at end of the crown. He said if he let go of the wheel, the car would go right to the curb within, you know, 20, 30 feet. So that's a pretty heavy pull.
That could be something with the brakes.
But the fact that it just cleared itself up and stopped is the interesting part.
I think it's stability control.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
stupid.
Yeah, I usually don't get... I've not engaged one of those cars yet, but that sounds to me like that could be a stability control issue, possibly.
Right.
Because, I mean, if the alignment was fine and the alignment checked out, I mean, you got to remember, too, that a car like that...
You have to say that in German. There's a request for you to do that in the German tongue.
Yeah, you have to make sure that the stability system has learned. You have taught it. It has learned its lesson. Otherwise, it goes back for ashbanking.
Is it, it's not smart. It would be a...
stupid!
Or a...
Dunker!
That's the one.
Yeah.
Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
You're easy to prompt.
Well, yeah, I mean, after a while, you kind of just know what's going to come out of people. You know, what's going to come out of my little head there.
See, there's the symmetry that people don't get. Like, you know, you're on stage, and that's why, you know, maybe the drummer will look at the bass player, the bass player look at the drummer and give a little nod, and you know you either change tempo, you're going to drop tempo, you're going to go offbeat. They have that symmetry. It's the same thing with this.
Exactly.
Know.
I mean, we hang out together. I mean, when we work on cars together, I mean, sometimes, like, you'll hand me the tool that I was just about to open my mouth for.
Or something like that. I mean, that's actually kind of easy, because when you have two guys who are doing a job that both know what to do, it just happened to be who's in what position, you know, it's like having a surgeon assist a surgeon.
Right.
You know you need scalpel number 7.
Yeah.
A 7 blade, you know, it's like... So here it is.
Or the axe.
Or the axe, yeah.
Yes.
Or the Hurst tool. Whatever.
The choice of life, yeah. Whatever works as far as that goes. But I bet you there is some procedure or there was something with... I'm thinking stability control. Because remember what happens is that, you know, you slam on the brakes or you, like, you know, turn the wheel over to avoid an accident. That car is actually faster and smarter than you.
Yes.
And it's going to either apply the brakes. I don't think it could do much with steering. What was it, like a 14 or a 13?
It was a 13, yes.
It might be smart enough to do that. Oh, look, got a flash.
Now, if it was Russian, if you ask Chekhov, he'd tell you, well, of course, because my people invented it.
Right.
So,
a little old lady in Leningrad.
Let's go to the phones and go to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey guys, how you doing? Got poor Dougie here.
Hey, Dougie.
Doug.
What's happening, Doug?
What's going on, guys?
Nothing. We're just telling the story of the Corvette's rebirth.
Yeah, I heard the story. I almost felt like I was there. Joe, you told the story so good. I felt like I was there.
Yeah, me too.
Too bad you weren't. Oh, wait a minute. Was that you in the corner?
So, Doug, you got to fill in the two pieces of the story. How did the car get into place, and then how did it get onto the lift?
Oh. You know those things that are supposed to roll the car around? That you put them on each wheel?
The skates.
Yeah, skates.
Like a dolly?
Go jacks, whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we put it on, actually, when we first got it outside, we dropped it, and it was on one of those wheels from the place where we picked it up.
Okay.
And then we tried to pull it. We got hooked it up to the Bronco, I believe.
Yeah.
Right.
And pulled it up. The two stories that we had to, you know, put through on the second floor.
Right.
Then when we got it upstairs, we pushed it around the El Camino and got it into place.
Okay.
But the rolling things weren't as friendly as they are. I mean, we had a smooth floor and everything, but they just weren't the most cooperative ones. But that'll be addressed. So, well, what's the next question?
Well, then the question was, how did you get it up onto the lift? Out of the spot, onto the lift with the frozen parking brake.
Well, Johnny acquired two friends over there. One guy's big enough to move the whole garage by himself.
Oh, I know who you mean. Yeah,
Chin. Yeah, Chin.
Yeah.
Chinese fella.
Right.
And just got the car on the lift, and the rest was history.
All right.
Yeah. I came out, I was like, how did you do this? And like, don't ask. I was like, okay, whatever, it's on.
That's great.
Let's get the work. Yeah.
Well, that's good, because now you can get that thing finished, done, get it out, sell it, make a few little shekels, and put some coin in your pocket, and call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saved another piece of history.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that car was so original, it was disgusting, right? I mean, like, we've taken stuff apart that, like, looks like it was... never took apart before.
That's nice.
You know what I mean? Like Delco points in there, Delco cap and rotor, all kinds of, everything looked original. It was like,
yeah,
you almost didn't want to touch the damn thing, you know?
But I can never see a more cooperative car.
Yeah.
In my life. That just, the hardest thing was getting the rotor off the frozen wheel.
Oh,
after that, the car cooperated, like,
I
don't know. It wanted to come back to life, man. That's all I can say.
You probably shouldn't say that until the car is done and gone. Because you know you're jinxing yourself.
Well, I did say something to Joey yesterday before we started it, and he told me to keep my mouth shut. And I did, and it went through. So
nice.
To me, the hard part's over. The motor runs. That's
right.
Basically, half the battle is not the...
Well, you still got to address those calipers that always freeze up.
Well... you know, back in the 70s, we didn't really worry about stopping. It was going.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
Well, you know, my 70 Corvette, every time I got to turn around and do brakes on it again, you know, calipers.
Right.
You know, and they're stainless steel sleeves, everything. But you got to rebuild them, take them apart, split them in half. You know the story.
Right.
That system is friggin' infamous.
You
know, I know,
I told the guy, you know, who bought the car, any Corvette you look at, you got to think you're going to do brakes on it anyway.
So. Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the master cylinder was bone dry. I mean, there's a lot to be done, but it's not particularly daunting. It's pretty much straight up work.
Straight up mechanical work.
Yeah.
That's good. Like that. That's good.
Yeah, a couple weekends, we'll get it going.
Excellent. Well, that's good, Doug. Then you could drag in another orphan and do it all over again.
Hey, we saved one more. What are you going to do?
I like that. That's very good.
Piece of history, for sure. Piece of history. It's an L82 car too, which is I was like, opened the hood, I was like, oh crap, look at this.
That's the name of the game.
Yep.
Beautiful.
But cool. Yeah, I'm glad you filled in some of the blanks there that I left out on the story.
Well, I'm usually a blank. That's my story. You know, I'm a blank.
Look who you're talking to. Come on.
Yeah, seriously.
Together we could all fill up a notebook of empty pages.
Of blanks, yeah. We're all shooting them. You know what I mean?
That's just what we remember from yesterday. Yeah. You want to talk about what I remember from '74? Yeah, I could write you something out. Yeah.
Yeah. Got to go back to the archives for that one.
Yeah, it's just something about the carburetor. Oh, yeah.
So with the fuel system on that thing, I'm sure that carburetor is a little bit of going to be a little bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, you know anybody that could do a carburetor?
Might have someone in a Rolodex, yeah.
Yeah.
We know him pretty good. Yeah, absolutely, sure.
Yeah, it is this guy. We know this guy.
We all got guys, you know.
Yeah, you know, like...
you know that guy, right?
Yeah, we know the guy, yeah.
Yeah, we got the carburetor guy, we got the electrical guy.
Right.
We got the wrench guy. Right. You know, we got them all.
No problem.
Bring it on.
I heard you're not going to make the Atlantic City car trip with us.
You know, at that point, I'm going to be working again on Saturdays, and at that job, I don't have any backup. So... that's a problem for me. That's always tough.
We're gonna miss you, but you know, there's no replacement for you anyway. You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah, prop up a Chucky doll; it'll be fine. Put a beer in his hand; it'll be all right. Be quiet. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be kind of sort of the same, except a little less, a little less troublesome. Right. Right.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, but thank you for clearing up the...
Hold on a minute. Let me get the wrench over here.
Oh, wrench. Cool.
Put him on the air for you. Hold on.
All right.
Hey, Ray, Happy New Year. I didn't see you yet. Joe, I saw you every day.
Thank you, Doug. Yeah, Happy New Year, brother.
Okay, guys. Thanks again. Hold on.
No problem.
Yo,
Johnny. Yo.
Hi, Johnny.
Yo, what's happening? Happy New Year, Ray.
Happy New Year, John. How's everything?
Yeah,
you know, beat down.
How's your day, dear? Hi, honey.
You're a little tired. What's up, Joey?
Hey, man. What's going on?
How's my little boy over there, man?
Yeah, I'm still at it.
Yeah.
You're just
going about it like I was just listening, you know?
That's it. Yeah. Day by day.
Yeah, we were telling the story of getting that thing apart, yeah, so.
Yeah, we're trying to, you know. Well, we've made success anyway for 30 years or whatever, like Joey said, was last registered, but worked out well, man, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was a case of how not to store your car.
It kind of sounds like Johnny's got a bit of the same cold that I got.
you know, I was determined, you know, the motor was locked.
Yeah,
right.
And I made a big chunk of steel, and I stayed here one night, and I just put it on a drill press, and I put it right to the damper.
Ah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The thing was tall.
I was
going
to hit it with a big sledge, and then as soon as I put the piece on, it got scared the car, and it just moved. I was like, look at this, because I had pipe wrenches on it with, you know, big plumbing pipe wrenches. I was crushing the pulleys because I didn't care anymore. You know, I was just trying to make the motor move, you know.
You blame it?
We were rather aggravated with it at some point.
Yeah. So then I said, you know what, strip everything off and go right to the crank.
Right.
And just, I made a chunk of steel, quarter inch, like about a yard thick.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, I just went to the drill press and just, you know, put two holes in it.
Yeah, next thing you know.
Locked it up, 3/8, boom. The thing moved like it was like brand new, the car.
Beautiful.
Special tool, J123456.
Yeah. Right.
We got to put that we got to write that into the shop manual on the table over there.
Yeah, right. We got to put that in here. Well, you can use a piece of angle right, too.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Got that right.
Yeah.
Cool.
But otherwise, you know. Joey figured everything out, and it started yesterday. It was a great, you know, success, man.
We got it going.
So
that's nice.
It's on its way.
That's
cool. Man. Excellent.
All right, John.
You know? Hey, all right.
All right, man. Thanks.
Hey, if you
buy the store, if you find another bottle of that green stuff.
What's that?
If you're in the store and you see another bottle of that green stuff, grab me another bottle of that green.
Like what?
What? That,
no, I called up. No, we don't need anything. We're just going to order everything for this thing.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, thank you.
Man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, John.
You got it.
I'll talk to you.
All right, John.
Thanks.
So long.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was our report from the UD. We got both barrels on that one, which is great.
Yeah.
So, kind of like what happens there. It's kind of like a limo wreck, you know, which is going to be our next break. Let's take a quick one, Joe. We'll regroup and we'll come back with more Motor Mouth Radio on 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by the Paramount in Huntington, who presents the Marshall Tucker Band on Thursday, June 27th at 8 p.m. More information is available online at ParamountNY.com.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
Sounds like a Sabbath riff, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's very early Black Sabbath.
Well, no, it's great stuff, man.
Love the limo wreck.
Gonna miss him.
Yeah.
Gonna miss him.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll miss him, but we'll go to the phones, go to the fun, and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yeah, hey, Ray, Joe, it's Dan.
Hey, Danny, what's happening?
What's going on, man?
Yeah.
Happy New Year, Dan. What's going on?
Man, not much. I was listening to the other caller. And I got to do the same on mine. You know, I've got the original rotors on the Corvette, 69 Corvette.
Right.
Right.
And I know that's going to be a nightmare.
That's the car I want Dan to sell me.
Ah.
Because I love those cars. Yeah, they are a nightmare, Dan. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that system is...
What do you got? They're like riveted or something, right? I think you got to drill it out or something. Or?
Yeah, you got to bust out the rivets. I mean, depending on the year of the car. I mean, most of the time they've already been taken off at least once in the car's lifetime over the 40 odd years. You know what I mean? So the rivets, unless the car is like obscenely original. I mean, this car that we were working on was obscenely original, but it wasn't that original. Yeah, you know, so they were apart at least once, you know.
Right.
But that's one sticking point. It's basically we already prepped the guy that it's going to need every stinking caliper, every stinking pad, every stinking piece of hydraulics. You know what I mean? Pretty much that's the way you got to approach him. And then there are tons of fun to bleed. Tons of fun. So make sure you have a lot of brake fluid,
hey,
a lot
a
of patience,
Matco.
And somebody that's going to pump the pedal for you.
I got
you
a new Matco brake bleeding set for Christmas.
Yes. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah.
And
either that
or the original 316s, please. Right? So I heard you never get rid of the originals because they're different, right? I mean, we'd have to pay to get mine rebuilt.
What, right? The calipers, Dan? You talking about?
Yeah.
That? Okay. Well, you could have yours rebuilt, or you could replace if you replace them. They usually want a core, unless you're buying new. Then it's just more money.
Right. Yeah, but what about mine? If let's say I wanted mine done, I wanted to keep mine.
Then you would rebuild yours. Yeah, have them stainless steel sleeved.
Yeah, you'd have probably the smart thing to do with them, of course, is to have them sleeved with stainless steel. The cast iron, that's just looking for trouble.
Yeah,
because no matter what you do, they eventually go bad. You know what I mean?
Unless it's probably a mix of metals, I guess, maybe. Yeah.
That definitely does not help. That definitely does not help things. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the caller said, too, he's looking for a guy for a carburetor. I know a guy. This guy, in fact, one of the guys on your show, he's a writer. He used to do with Motion Performance and stuff. But there was a guy, Phil, from this place, a Fair Deal Carburetor in Queens. The guy was unbelievable.
That's
the guy
was
the best. The guy was a legend. It was a little mom and pop place, and he went out of business, years ago. And I had bumped into him in the Best Buy in Baldwin, But he, I think he's still, he's an old timer, but he's still doing stuff on the side. The guy is absolutely the best. So.
You know, on your recommendation, I met him at the Best Buy also and spoke with him.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And tried getting him on the show, but, I guess he wasn't into it. I figured I was going to just give him the name of the guy who did your Volvo carburetors.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, cause I heard he's kind of good too, but
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get it figured out. We'll get it.
That's another thing too. I gotta get that. I got so many things.
Yeah, the Volvo. That's kind of like becoming a time capsule. What happened? What's?
I know.
You were going guns.
I got it
full blaze.
I gotta get it out of there. I got it in the shop because it's just having on the it's running. I got the thing was with the brakes, that power booster. I had to take it to a guy out in Suffolk, all the way out east,
Okay.
And a place, the guy rebuilt it, and, it's, those cars are tough.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's not, they're a little tricky,
Yeah, yeah, no, I understand. When you get into cars like that, you're in another, it's not like having a Mustang or a Camaro, something that's very common, or a Corvette. They're a little off the beaten path. You got to find people who understand the systems and
know. I know. It's a great car. And it's a great motor and stuff, but.
Oh, yeah.
It's, I can't wait to get it, to be honest.
For people who, that's a 66, right?
Mine's a 65.
A 65.
Yeah. The guy that's out at
Volvo.
The guy that just passed away recently. The guy Irv Gordon. His was a 66.
Right.
The guy that had 3.5 million miles.
Three and a half million miles. Right. Right. Yeah. P144. Great car. Yeah. Fantastic. I love those cars.
Yeah.
Good-looking
cars.
I told you the story. I mean, years ago, a friend of mine had one. And, from Brooklyn. And this is, we're talking about. I had my vet. And this had to be about maybe 76 or something like that, And you'd never seen that car. I remember we would go to the park and like, what the hell is a Volvo?
Because
it was so sporty,
Right.
And I just loved it. From that day on, I fell in love with the turquoise gauges in the car.
The
Smith gauges. I mean, the car was beautiful.
Yeah.
I loved it,
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you'd never seen it, And I always, allowed to get one, to find one, and I looked out.
Yeah, you got lucky. You did the search, and you found it out west, right? It was out in the Midwest.
Right. I actually came across two good ones. I came across the 70 that was an original overseas purchase. A woman had it. Mechanic was selling it. She had died. And the car, I knew, because what I would do is I would search all Craigslist every day.
Yeah.
And I just found it when it hit.
See, now what year was it?
Original paperwork,
what year
documents,
was,
had everything, you know what I mean?
What year was
and
that
I could
that
have
you
got
bought?
It for a good price. In fact, the guy had almost like a $500 thing where I had to send it to him. And the only thing is on a 70, and it was this beautiful blue, which I love. The only thing on a 70, they changed the interior. It was this wood grain, and I didn't like it. Nothing like the early style.
Dan, what year was it that you found your car?
2014.
2004. See, now I can remember that. I remember when you did that like it was yesterday, but I couldn't fill out the piece of paper before I did yesterday, probably. So there you go. That's how the brain works, right?
Yeah, I know. But the funny thing about it, that Because then right at the end, I said, you know what, let me get what I really wanted. And I knew the car, you know, that car, I seen that car about a month later on eBay. It was $10,000 more than what I could have picked it up for, you know, because that's how clean the car was.
Yes,
was
I know. Beautiful.
And it was sold, you know, somebody bought it, you know.
Yeah.
But they are, let me tell you, these cars are going to be, you know, it's just certain cars. And, you know, if not already, it's going to be a classic car, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dan, we got to run because Kim is here setting up for a show. We got to give her some space, and we appreciate you calling.
Yeah,
thanks for giving us
calls,
a buzz.
Yeah.
All right, guys, and hope you know, this is a good year.
Yep,
you know?
Hope so,
yeah,
too.
You too.
Hoping to see you soon.
How's it for, man?
Okay, bye-bye.
All right,
take care.
See you. So long. That's our good buddy, Dan. And,
yeah.
Joe, we're going to get out of here. We will be back next week. We're going to have Marty from Eclipse Sunshades on the show.
Yeah.
For now, stay tuned
for
Thunder Road.
He'll be throwing some shade on us.
Kim, she's doing what I do after Rob's show, like rushing like frantically to get everything in line.
Right.
So we'll give some space. We'll get out of here. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.